How to effectively engage your leader applicant. In this session, we're going to talk about how to engage people in the most positive, productive way when you are first involved with them on a face-to-face basis. Now remember, the purpose here is to engage your leads and applicants and turn potential resistors into avid listeners, to develop trust and rapport while displaying your sincere interest in your leads and applicants. Remember, we're talking about the first face-to-face interaction between you and your lead or applicant. And the real underlying purpose of this step is simply to set the face-to-face sales process in motion. The purpose is not to allow you to dominate the conversation, interrupt the lead or applicant, or sell yourself as being the most wonderful, highly recognized recruiter in the Air Force Reserve. Instead, it's to allow four things to happen when you first engage your lead or applicant. 1. To build trust. 2. To build rapport. 3. To allow yourself to measure your lead or applicant's receptivity to seeing you. 4. To allow your lead or applicant to carry on an unsolicited conversation if they choose to do so. Let's examine those four points in detail. 1. To build trust. Your lead or applicant's level of belief that you and the Air Force Reserve are credible and will deliver on every promise or commitment. That is trust. 2. To build rapport. Rapport is you matching the pace, tone, behavior, and actions of the lead or applicant so that they're comfortable, and comfortable enough to recognize that you see the world in the same way that they see the world. 3. Measuring your lead or applicant's receptivity. Don't proceed until your lead or applicants are at least receptive to having you ask them the right questions, or allowing them to talk about why they may have a need to solve a problem that you can help them solve. If you cannot get beyond this lack of receptivity, don't move beyond first engaging your lead or applicant, because you're certainly not going to sell them an Air Force Reserve commitment. 4. To allow your lead or applicant to carry on an unsolicited conversation if they choose to do so. The fourth goal is a constant theme that we've been teaching for many years. Don't dominate the conversation, and only allow there to be a conversation if your lead or applicant wants to have that conversation. Remember, you only have a matter of seconds to establish your credibility and convince someone that time spent with you will be valuable. In fact, lots of research suggests that time frame may be the first 19 to 34 seconds. We've asked thousands of customers who have bought from salespeople what they would have those salespeople do differently. The overwhelming response was that they needed to open the sale better. Most people had no problem with the way the salesperson made their product presentation. They weren't even concerned about being asked to buy. They just didn't like the way the salesperson first engaged them. Let this be a lesson learned for you as a recruiter. Let's take a look at how you can do this better. First, understand one thing. Your purpose is not to get your leader applicant to like you. Instead, your goal is to get them to trust you. There's a big difference. Recruiters who want to be liked dump benefits every chance they can. Smart recruiters seek to be trusted, and they sell value. To do this, you need to enter the face-to-face sales interview with the confidence that prospecting for qualified leads and pre-call planning has created. For example, if you're well-positioned, your trust factor is higher to begin with. If you've prospected for the appointment in a way that is highly professional, you'll be positioned in a very meaningful way. If you've pre-call planned correctly, your focus is on the other person, not yourself. Attention builds trust. Let me ask you a question. Do your leads or applicants believe you have something of value to say to them? People will pay attention to someone whom they perceive as having something important to say. You need to position yourself as that person. And when you do, your first impression will be a great one. Unfortunately, some leads or applicants enter a sales interview nervous, hesitant, and concerned that you might be trying to take advantage of them. Therefore, you need to avoid coming across as an intruder, high-pressure recruiter, or time waster. Fail to position yourself strongly and correctly, and some people will not agree to see you. There will always be some level of tension in any sales interview. You must find a way to reduce this tension at the beginning of your interview. This will build trust with your applicant or lead and help them relax in the process. If you don't relax, they won't either. Applicants and leads can sense your confidence, your attitude about recruiting, and your belief in the Air Force Reserve, as well as your personal comfort level of being with them. It shows in your eyes, your gestures, your movements, and even in your tone of voice. If you can't reduce the tension between the two of you, you'll never get to the trust level that's required. It all starts with you. Let's take a look at 8 ways you can begin to calm the inner you. Ways you can begin to reduce the level of tension you feel, because inner tension will be directed from you to your leader applicant. You must feed your mind with thoughts like these. 1. My purpose is to help this person identify their biggest problem and to provide them the answers they need. 2. I'm a valuable resource for this person. 3. I'm a capable and confident recruiting professional. 4. The Air Force Reserve promises a lot, and we deliver even more. My job is to help this person experience that value. 5. What I sell has far greater value than the commitment I'm asking for it. 6. I care a great deal for this person, and my goal is to show that caring by carefully prescribing solutions to their biggest problems. 7. Recruiting is an honorable profession that I am proud to represent. 8. If the Air Force Reserve opportunity isn't a good solution for this person, I am fully prepared to end this meeting. Let's take a look at the last one, number 8. If the Air Force Reserve opportunity isn't a good solution for this person, I'm fully prepared to end this meeting. Let me ask you a question. Are you really fully prepared to leave that meeting? If you really believe you're in the business of helping solve problems, meeting needs, and satisfying difficulties, if what the Air Force Reserve has to offer doesn't satisfy that, you must be willing to end the interview. Perhaps with a recommendation for the person to speak to a recruiter from another branch of service. It's absolutely that critical. You know, these 8 affirmations are powerful, proven ways to feel better about yourself and why you do what you do. They will enhance your inner self and your level of confidence as you begin to feel less inner tension and a greater sense of comfort. Let's take a look at 3 things you can do right now to reduce the lack of trust that can exist when you first engage your leader applicant. Here they are. 1. Eliminate any potential tension inducers before the appointment. A tension inducer is anything that can cause tension to increase during the sales interview. Things like poor scheduling, overlapping appointments, disorganization, not having everything you need with you, poor product knowledge, inferior selling skills, not using the impact selling system, and having outdated or no real knowledge of the leader applicant. All of these can really cause tension. 2. Look for tangible ways to help your leader applicants relax. A quiet, confident manner and a warm smile go a long way towards lowering resistance and tension. And 3, be a good guest. When you're in someone's home or place of business, you're on their turf, and you're bound by etiquette to abide by their rules. For example, graciously accept any hospitality your hosts offer. Ask where you can hang a jacket. Place your briefcase on the floor, not on someone's desk. One of the most important things to avoid is dominating the conversation when you first engage your leader applicant. In fact, your desire to appear friendly and talkative can sometimes prove to be as much of a detriment as it is a strength. Our research shows that recruiters who dominate the conversation and offer too much unsolicited small talk are not seen in a favorable light by their leader applicants. Unsolicited small talk is conversation that is totally and utterly initiated by the recruiter and generally deals with topics that are irrelevant and uninteresting to your leader applicant. On the other hand, solicited small talk is offered by the leader applicant and allows them to talk about issues that are relevant, interesting, and exciting to them. You see, the sales presentation is all about your leader applicant. Your goal is to allow that person to talk about things that are important and relevant to them. If a leader applicant wants to talk, let them talk. If they don't want to talk, simply move directly into your sales presentation by telling them precisely what you'd like to accomplish and why. Next, you want to give a statement of intention. For example, you might say, "I'd like to have a chance to meet with you and ask you a few questions to see if the Air Force Reserve may have something that could be of value to you." At that point, you'd simply move on to the probe step, and that is the heart of the sales process. let's talk about what we call the soft landing. If you really want to ensure you build and sustain trust, an excellent statement to make, following the statement of intention, is this: I promise you that if together we see that I can't help you, I certainly will try to recommend someone who I think can help you. Now think about this for a moment. You've told them, A, you just want to meet them. B, you would simply like to ask a few questions. C, you'll determine if you can help them. And D, if you both determine that there's no way you can help, you'll recommend someone else who can help them. The primary bonding statement is a concept we've been teaching for a number of years. Interestingly enough, this is a concept very few people understand or are able to use. Instead, most recruiters have unfortunately been taught to say something like, "I'm here to meet your needs." Remember, people don't always buy what they need, but they always buy what they want. So why not tell them you're going to help them get what they want? Here's a sample primary bonding statement. My goal is to help you get what you want, and we've discovered if we can do that, things work out best for everyone. Does that make sense? The critical here is that you've used the word want. It's far more emotional than need. Let's talk for a second about sales scripts. Listen carefully. Top recruiters don't memorize a script. Instead, they modify statements and internalize them so that they're comfortable with them and they're natural for them to say. For example, learn the basic components and parts of what we've just suggested that you say, and then simply adapt it so that it matches your personal style of speech and level of comfort. Here's the good news. You're going to have some situations where the leader applicant says absolutely nothing. The truth is, most are going to say something. They'll greet you, comment about your office, talk about the traffic, or even start asking you about yourself. That is solicited small talk. But remember, the solicited small talk must come from them, not from you. If your leader applicant doesn't want to talk, move directly into your sales presentation, and do it in a very straightforward way by issuing the statement of intention. However, if they do want to talk, here are three tips that can help you make this time very productive. First, ask questions to get them talking about themselves. Nothing gets someone more involved in the selling process more quickly or effectively than inviting them to talk about themselves. In fact, most people will talk to you about themselves, even if they won't talk to you about anybody else. Ask questions that draw them out. As they talk, use follow-up questions that get them telling you more. For example, "That's interesting, tell me more." Or, "Could you expand on that?" Or, "What else happened?" are all great follow-up questions. Second, really listen to what they say. Looking a person right in the eye and visually responding to everything they say is a great way to show you're interested. Be sure to nod. Lean forward. All that shows you're interested and listening. Third, show a genuine interest in what they tell you by feeding it back to them. For example, "I'm sure that dropping out of college for lack of funding was difficult, wasn't it?" Always remember the quickest way to get people involved with you is for you to get involved with them. And what does that mean? If they're ready to move into the interview process, do it. If they don't want to talk, do it. If they want to show you their home, take a tour. If they invite you to go next door for a soft drink or a cup of coffee, go. And finally, gain eye contact and lock into the emotions of your leader applicant. Try to connect with what that person is feeling about your being there, about other things going on in their life, about life in general. Put yourself in that person's shoes and try to pick up on what he or she is experiencing at that moment. For example, if that person has a headache, imagine what it would be like to listen to a recruiter talk while your head was throbbing. You begin to feel a genuine empathy with that person, and the empathy you feel will be transmitted to that other person. One of the best ways to get people involved with what you want to have happen is to feel and show a real understanding of what they're feeling. Then you must shift from friendly conversation to active sales talk. When this shift occurs, you want response, not reaction. So let's talk about some really sound tips here. First, get to the point of your visit quickly. There are five things uppermost in your leads or applicant's mind from the moment you sit down to talk. First, who are you? Whom do you represent? What do you want? What will I get out of this whole thing? And what's it going to cost me? Second, avoid being abrupt. Amateurs often say things like, "Well, I know you don't have all day to talk, and neither do I, so let's get down to business." Or they might have been taught to ask a startling question that's totally out of touch with anything that's ever been said till that point. For example, "If I could show you how to pay for college without a dime coming out of your pocket, you'd listen, wouldn't you?" In today's sophisticated marketplace, that's a great way for you not to be taken seriously. Professionals take a more balanced approach. They ask non-threatening questions or make statements that gently open the door. Third, make it totally natural. Let it flow smoothly from the rapport you've set in motion. Look for a tangible way to identify with the leader applicant and start from there. Search for a common interest, a point of personal pride, a delight for the person, or a way to express concern over a problem that he or she might be experiencing, and use that as a launching pad for your shift into your sales presentation. By identifying with your leader applicants, you enable them to identify with you. You help to establish the feeling that you see life pretty much as they do, and that you mean them no harm. When you first engage your leader applicant, it is critical you approach them in the right manner. The preparation for this step is essential. All of this is a launching pad for the rest of the sales presentation. The bottom line is, it's all about them. It's not about you. Approach people face to face positively, and your sales interview will be on solid ground.